Okay, thank you. It's really a great pleasure and honor. Thank you so much. It's really a great pleasure and honor for me to be here tonight. I really have a lot of students from Shalavim Lanashim, such special, smart, refined young women, and I hope to see many more of you, right, in my classes and in Stern in the future, but really it's a special experience always for me to deliver a shiur here in the Beit Midrash. We're going to be speaking about Shevet Levi tonight because right now we are speaking about the Mishkan, right, in our Parshiyot HaShavua. And I felt it's important for us to really understand and study what is going on, right, with Shevet Levi. How do they develop? What is so special about Shevet Levi? And I'm going to just analyze this in Chumash. What is so special about Shevet Levi in Chumash? What do we know about Sefer Breshit? We're going to start from Sefer Breshit, and we're going to move on to Sefer Dvarim. And in Sefer Breshit, what do we know about destiny narratives? What do we know about the destiny narratives in Sefer Breshit? What do we know about destiny narratives? What's a destiny narrative? The story of an individual, and that destiny really continues throughout all of Tanakh. Give me the destiny narrative of Yehuda. What is the destiny narrative of Yehuda? We're doing this interactive, right? What is it? Let's work backwards if you want. Right, what is the bracha that Yehuda gets in Sefer Breshit by Yaakov Avinu at the end of his life? Right, Yehuda ata yoducha checha. Right, everyone acknowledges you. Lo yasur shevet miyuda. What does it mean, lo yasur shevet miyuda? Right, the leadership will never veer from Yehuda. So already in Sefer Breshit, Yehuda's destiny is set. He is going to be the leadership. He is going to be the Malchut. What about Reuven? What do we know about Reuven in Sefer Breshit? What is his birth order? He is the Bechor. And yet, what do we know about his future? Right? He's never really acting as the Bechor. We call him Bechor always when we count Bnei Israel. He's number one. But Reuven loses the Bechorah. What's the language, right, in Birchot Yaakov about Reuven? Right, you were my firstborn, but pachas kamayim al potar, because you were always impetuous. Pachas kamayim, because you were always impetuous, and you really did not finish what you started. Right, you really don't have what it takes to be a leader. So already we know with Yehuda and Reuven, what we know about him in Sefer Breshit really continues throughout. What else with Yosef? Yosef already has some leadership potential. He doesn't fulfill it completely, right? But he is a leader in Mitzrayim, right? We know later on that when the Shvatim split, right, who takes Aseret HaShvatim? Yeravam ben Nevat. And what Shevet is he from? From Ephraim. And Ephraim is from what Shevet? Is from Yosef. Also, who's the leader who brings Bnei Israel into Eretz Israel? Yoshua. What Shevet is he from? Ephraim. So we see that really for Yehuda, Reuven, and Yosef, all the main characters, right, that we have in Sefer Breshit, right, we have a certain destiny that's set in the end with Berchot Yaakov. And yet, right, we're going to see that Shevet Levi are one of the most important Shvatim in all of Am Yisrael, and we're going to see that their destiny is not so set in Sefer Breshit. And in Berchot Yaakov, we don't already find what's going to be with the future of Levi. So that's what we're trying to find out. From Sefer Breshit to Sefer Dvarim, what is the direction and what happens to Shevet Levi? How do they become who they are? So we're going to start with the narratives, with the stories, right, that the Chumash tells us about Levi. So let's start. And what's the first time we see Levi acting? Not when he's born, right? When's the first time that Levi acts in Sefer Breshit? That is with Dinah and Shechem. So let's see, right, the first story that we have with Dinah and Shechem. And when we speak about Levi with Dinah and Shechem, who do we always have to connect Levi with? Shimon and Levi. So we're going to put Shimon and Levi, right? In the beginning, we always have Shimon and Levi together. So let's start. We're in Breshit Perek Lamed Daled. We're in source number one. And a terrible thing happens to Dinah. She is violated. Dinah is violated. Shechem and Hamor want to come and speak to Yaakov, and does Yaakov respond or not? Yaakov does not respond, right, when they want to offer marriage. And then, right, when the sons of Yaakov come back from the field, we're starting with Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayanu bnei Yaakov et Shechem ve et Hamor aviv b'mirma. Already the sons of Yaakov are responding b'mirma, right? Either with trickery or according to Perush Rashi, they are answering b'chokhmah, right? They really already have a different view, a different agenda. Vayidabru asher timeh et dina achotam. What is motivating them? What is motivating their answer? What are they responding to? What is asher timeh et dina achotam? What is their motivating factor of what their response is going to be? What? You could either say revenge or protecting her. And what do they want to defend? What bothers them about what happened to Dina? She was violated, right? So they are responding to the fact that she was nitma'ah, right? So that is their motivating factor. Asher timeh et Dina achotam. And what do they propose? They propose that all the males in the city of Shechem should undergo a brit milah. And how do Shechem and Chamor convince the entire town to have a brit milah? Look at Pasuk Kaf Aleph. What do they say about Bnei Yaakov? How do they describe Bnei Yaakov in order to convince the entire city to undergo a brit milah? What is the important word? What is the milah mancha? What's the most important word in this Pasuk? How do they describe them? Shleimim. Shleimim hemitanu. They are, what does Shleimim mean? Complete, wholesome, transparent, peaceable, which means the way Bnei Yaakov are described is that they're shleimim, shalom, peaceable, wholesome, right? That's who they are. That is what Shechem and Chamor are describing Bnei Yaakov. And what do? Every single one, every male has a brit milah. And what happens on the third day? Pasuk kafei. Vayhi bayom ashlishi, on the third day, biotam koavim. What do we see? What do we feel about this entire city? What does koavim mean? They are hurting in pain, right? They are hurting in pain. And what do Bnei Yaakov do, right? Two of Bnei Yaakov, Shimon and Levi. So not only are they described as Bnei Yaakov, Shimon and Levi, what else are they described as? Achedina, which means they are Bnei Yaakov. Shimon and Levi are Bnei Yaakov, the sons of Yaakov. But what also are they? Achedina. And every time in Torah, when we have an assignation, which means we have a familial assignation, which means when we have a family assignment, which means you're a father, you're a brother, you're a son, you're a daughter, that is telling us something very important. So Shimon and Levi here are acting as what? Representing the sons of Yaakov, and they're also representing themselves as the brothers of Dina. And what do? They take ish charbo, each one, Shimon and Levi, take their swords, right? And what do? They come al ha'ir betach. Now remember, we had the word shleimim, and now we have the word betach. Now look how it's used. We're not sure if Shimon and Levi, right, are feeling betach. What does betach mean? Sure, secure, right? Or is it the city? How does the city maybe feel? Sure, secure, because what did they just have with Bnei Israel? They just had a treaty. So what do they feel? Oh, we feel safe, right? So either Shimon and Levi are feeling sure, because what do they know about the city? They're all hurting, so they could defeat the city easily. And also on the other side, how do Anshei Shechem feel? They feel also secure in the knowledge that they just had a peace agreement with Am Yisrael, right? So we already see the difference, right? Everyone's speaking on it, thinking on a different level. Vayargu kol zachar. They come into the city and they kill every male. And then what did they do? Pasuk Kavav. Ve'et chamor ve'et shchem b'no hargu lefi charev. They kill all the males, kol zachar lefi charev. And they also kill shchem and chamor lefi charev. If you were going on this attack, what would you do if you wanted to make a point? Let's say, what order would you attack the city? Or who would you attack? If you wanted to make a clear message that you want to defend your sister who was violated. I need louder, or say?
You would kill Shechem and Chamor first.
Maybe I would kill Shechem and Chamor first to show that, who am I really targeting? Shechem and Chamor, right? On the other hand, right? By killing all the males in the city first and then killing Shechem and Chamor, maybe we're not making things so clear, right? So according to the Rambam, all the city is also guilty. Why is all the city guilty? Because according to the Rambam, one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, Mishpatim, to set up courts, right? And because the city did not set up a court system and it doesn't take care of someone who rapes, right, someone in the community, so obviously the whole city is chayev. What's the view of the Ramban? Why was Yaakov so upset? Because by killing all the males in the city, we're muddying the waters. Because who are really your targets? Who are the individuals that you should really target? Only Shechem and Chamor. Not all the males in the city. So especially for flipping the order, so we have a question already on the morality and ethics of what's going on. Right? Two different views. And what is happening here? What's their goal? But even Lashitat Ramban and Lashitat Rambam, what is going on in the rest of the Psukim? Let's read. Pasuk of Zayin. Bnei Yaakov ba'u al ha-chalalim v'yavozu ha'ir asher tim'u et achotam. What do Bnei Yaakov do? They come to the chalalim. What's a chalal?
A corpse.
So they're coming on the corpse of the city, and what do? They are taking the spoils, right? They are taking the spoils off the dead bodies. So what is already happening here? What is the Torah telling us about the acts of Shimon and Levi in this case? So even if you wanted to say, maybe it was right, because all the males in the city were collaborating, or according to the Ramban, really Yaakov is saying, okay, maybe Shechem and Chamor, but not necessarily the entire city. But clearly, what is happening now? They are going to all the corpses and they're taking all the spoils. Let's go on. Pasuk Kavchet. What else are they taking? What else are they taking in Pasuk Kavchet? Tzonam, Bekaram, Chamorehem, right? Everything Ba'ir, everything Basadeh, right? The Tzon, etc. Everything in the city, everything in the field, right? Look, what is the Torah trying to tell us here about what Shimon and Levi are doing? How is it describing? Limited or excessive? Definitely excessive damage. Right? The Torah is trying to tell us that what Shimon and Levi are doing are excessive, right? Ve'et kol cheilam, ve'et kol tapam, ve'nishehem, shavu. They take the women and the children, right, into captivity. And again, what word is repeated? Vayavozu et kol asher babayit. Over and over again, it talks about biza, talks about in the house, and it talks about in the field, and it talks about taking the women into captivity, and again, it talks about taking all their money and all their possessions, which means the Torah is really saying that beyond even, right, what they did to defend Dina's honor, right, it is really going, right, definitely to the next level. Maybe, the question, maybe it's excessive. What does Yaakov think about this? Right, look at Yaakov's response, Pasuk Lamed. What does Yaakov say to Shimon and Levi? And again, who is he always targeting when he's speaking? Shimon and Levi, what does he say to them? Achartem oti lahavisheni. What's achartem oti lahavisheni? What's achartem oti? What is Yaakov saying to Shimon and Levi? Achartem oti. You disgraced me. Right? Lahavisheni. To make me odious, Beersheva Aretz. Which means Yaakov does not agree with what Shimon and Levi did. He says this is a disgrace. And what is Shimon and Levi's response? Hachizonaya set achotenu? Right? You can't defile our sister and make her seem like a harlot and we're not going to respond. And what is so interesting here? What doesn't happen in the next pasuk? What would you expect to happen in the next pasuk? Who should be responding? Yaakov. Right? Yaakov Avinu should be responding here. Right? And Yaakov does not respond. Where do we see that Yaakov is going to respond to Shimon and Levi? In Berchot Yaakov. But right now, Yaakov is not responding. And we see during this hiatus, right? Reuven, right, is involved with Bilha in whatever that is that happens there. The brothers sell Yosef, right? We have Yehuda and Tamar, which means a lot goes on without Yaakov's intervention at this point. Which means when Shimon and Levi did this and they answer back to Yaakov, right, they are really disgracing the authority of Yaakov. Which means there definitely is, right, some kind of echo to what Shimon and Levi are doing. Not just that they did this act, but it has ramifications. Let's see what the Medrash says, right? We have two views of the Medrash, either saying that Yaakov was right, or that Shimon and Levi are right. What's the first view in the Midrash? We're on number two. Rabbanan Amri, we're on source number two, Breshit Rabbah. Rabbanan Amri Tzlula Haita HaChavit V'achartem Otah. What is Tzlula Haita HaChavit? What does it mean that the barrel was clear? V'achartem Otah. And you made it muddy. You muddied the waters, or you muddied the wine. What do we know about a barrel? Why do we put things in a casket? And why do we keep it standing up, right? When we want to make sure, right, that we're storing it. Why do we do that? Because we want to clarify what's inside, right? And you clarify that. So what happens to all the extra sediment or the lees or the dregs if it's wine, right? Sediment, right? Wine or water. What happens to it? It settles down, right? And what does it mean, achar temotah? The metaphor that the Medrash is saying that Yaakov uses is what you're shaking it up now, which means Yaakov, after the brachot, right? And after, right, the bechorah, right? His experience was Esav, right? There were a few things there which the water was not so clarified. And finally, Yaakov has made sure in his reputation, and he already settled everything with Esav. And now when they're coming into Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, what's happening when Shimon and Levi are doing this? What's happening to the reputation of Yaakov? It's muddying the reputation. It's now changing, right, the chemistry and what is going on with the crystal clear reputation with Yaakov. So the Medrash is using this metaphor because it wants to say that all those pieces have already settled down and now they're shaking them up. What is the other view? What is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon's view in the Midrash? He says, "Achura haita chavit v'tzalal nuota." What's the view of Rabbi Yehuda? What's achura haita chavit? Say Shimon and Levi, right? V'tzalal nuota. What's their view? What? Louder.
It was muddy
then
they
clarified. When they did this to Dina, that muddied our reputation. And by us avenging her honor, what did we do? We clarified our reputation. So we have two views in Midrash, right? Saying, well, maybe Yaakov's right. Maybe Shimon and Levi are right. We understand both sides, says the Midrash. What is the view of the Rabbeinu Bachaye? What is the view of Rabbeinu Bachaye? What was the muddying of the waters here? What act was really muddying the waters by Shimon and Levi? What is the view of Rabbeinu Bachaye? What of his first three words in his Perush? Lishpoch dam chinam. What does that mean, lishpoch dam chinam? What does it mean to spill innocent blood? What is the view? How does Rabbeinu Bachaye see the actions of Shimon and Levi? When they killed the entire city, what was it? It was spilling innocent blood. It was wrong. And why was it wrong? Look at the end of the Rabbeinu Bachaye. Why was it wrong? Lohotzi shemra sheyomru hereyu le'anshei shlomam. What did B'nai Shechem think about B'nai Yisrael? Shleimim hemitanu. Which means, how were B'nai Yisrael perceived? Shleimim hemitanu. We made a peace treaty with these people, say Shechem. Right? Which means these are people who don't honor their peace treaties. They do not honor their peace treaty. Their word is mud. That is what happened here. Look at the Sforno. What is the Sforno saying? What is the Sforno saying is the main problem that we have here? The Sforno is saying, right? Sheyomru sheshikarnu be'emunatenu achar shenimolu. According to the Sforno, what's the problem here? Not just that we lied at a peace treaty. What is the Sforno focusing on? You gotta help me here. What is the Sforno focusing on? Yes?
Is it the intentions that they had when they told them to have a Brit Milah?
The intentions when they told them to have a Brit Milah, which means how do they think about their religion? How do they think about Brit Milah? What can you use it for? You can use it for other things, which means you don't take it seriously and you don't take the religious value of Brit Milah so seriously. So you don't take your religion seriously, which means the Mefarshim want to say, what is muddying the water? They're not trustworthy people because their peace treaties are not trustworthy. Their word is mud. They don't think anything about their religion because they're going to use it to get other gains. They use it as a means to other ends. So Brit Milah didn't mean anything to them. And yet, what does the Malbim say? Who is right? Right? We know the Rabbeinu Bachaye and the Sforno is saying very strongly. We understand what Yaakov is criticizing. But the Malbim is saying, whose side do I understand? What is the Malbim saying here? Who is he defending? Tzarich laharot lahem sheyesh la'el yadenu lihinakem hanokem banu hanugea banu l'ra'ah. What is the Malbim saying? Who is he defending? Shimon and Levi. Because what is the Malbim saying about Jewish blood? Jewish blood is not cheap. We have to respect Jewish blood. If one of our brethren or sisters, right, is being violated, what should we do? We have to show that we are going to defend them. Jews are not weak. Jews will respond, right, if you attack other Jews, right? People have to know that the Jews are strong. That's what the Malbim is saying. And what did Shimon and Levi show to Shechem? Right? You touched our sister? We're going to answer back. So we are seeing, right, that in a sense, right here there's a teku, right? There are views to here and there are views to there. But we definitely understand, right? We definitely understand that there definitely was an excessive response here by Shimon and Levi. Even if there was some understanding to what they did, right, their initial idea, but definitely the way the Torah is writing about it, the excessiveness is really very important. So what we would like to do is to look at other acts of Shimon and Levi, right, throughout Sefer Breshit. In Pshat, we only have the Brachot. But what do we know about the next act between brothers? Go to page number 2. What's the next act that we have between brothers in Sefer Breshit? What's the next act, event, that we have between brothers in Sefer Breshit? Mechirat Yosef, right? And here it's a violation, right, of a brother by the brothers. Before it was the brothers getting together to defend the sister, right? And look at Pasuk Yutet, right? And the irony is, right, he went to see Shlom Mechav, the Shalom of his Achim, same word is used over and over again. And of course, what city does Mechirat Yosef happen in? Shechem. Okay, so Shechem is a city, right, where we know things happen. Right? Shechem yu'ad lepuranut, according to the Midrash. Look at Pasuk Yutet. Vayomru isha lachiv. One brother says, a man, brother, says to his other brother, right? Hine ba'al chalomot alazeh. The dreamer is coming. According to the Midrash, and Rashi quotes this many times, who is this brother who's speaking to his other brother, according to the Midrash? It is Shimon and Levi. Because they're always the two brothers who are in cahoots, right? Who have these plans all the time. So according to the Midrash, and it might be a good, right, even pshat reading, right, Vayomru isha lachiv, even though it could also be, right, all the brothers say one to the other. So hine ba'al chalomot alazibah. So again, right, are Shimon and Levi responsible for Mechirat Yosef? Let's see the brachot in the end of Sefer Breshit. What does Yaakov say about Shimon and Levi? Shimon v'Levi achim, run source number 4, page number 2, source number 4. Breshit perek memtet. Shimon v'Levi achim klei chamas mechiroteim. What do we know about Shimon and Levi? What are they? Achim, which means the idea that we're constantly talking about achim, 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 is always Shimon and Levi. So Shimon and Levi are always designated as achim. They're always doing things together, right? Shimon v'Levi achim, and they always have tools of destruction. Look at Rashi on bottom, right? Shimon v'Levi achim, what is the view of Rashi? They had the same plan about Shechem and about Mechirat Yosef. What about Klei Chamas Mecheiroteim? Who do they always emulate? They're always emulating Esav, which means when they take the sword to fight against Shechem, they're imitating Esav. Because till now in Chumash, right, we never have anyone from Bnei Israel taking a sword. Who's the only one who ever takes a sword? Even though Abraham fights, but we don't have the image of him taking his sword. Who's the only one who ever takes a sword or wants to kill his brother? It's only Esav, right? When he finds out that Yaakov has the brachot, right, we know that Esav wants to kill him. And what do we know about the bracha for Esav? What was Esav's bracha? Al charbacha? Tichyeh. He lives by the sword. So Rashi is saying, when Yaakov is looking at these two sons, Shimon and Levi, what is he saying to them? I don't recognize you. Because you're not my sons. Because my way is a kol Yaakov. Who are you emulating? Who do you see as your father, in a sense? You see Esav and the ways of Esav. That's what Rashi is saying, right? And look further down, right? Sorry, let's go back to the brachot, right? Besodam al tavo nafshi, I don't want my name to be mentioned, right, when we're talking about the bad activities of Shimon and Levi. Why? Ki be'apam hargu ish. How do they act? With anger. Apam. U'birtzonam ikru shor. They're stubborn. Pasuk zayin. Arur apam ki az. I'm cursing their anger. Ve'evratam ki kashata. How many different ways or how many different words are used to show anger? 4. We have apam, right? Right? Evratam, right? And what's the third way? We have apam twice, right? What's the third way we are saying anger and stubbornness? Birtzonam. Which means, what are we seeing here about Shimon and Levi? They are stubborn, they are willful, right? They do whatever they want to do, and the consequences are very negative. Right? And Yaakov says they should be separated. So what do we see that's different about Shimon and Levi than the other Achim in the end of Sefer Breshit? Which means, what kind of message do they get? Now let's look at Rashi. What does Rashi say about this message? Look at Pasuk Zayin in Rashi. We're on number four. Look at Rashi Zayin. What does Rashi say about this message? What do we call, right? What happens in the end of Sefer Bereishit by Yaakov? We call him Birkot Yaakov. What is Rashi saying here, right? What is Yaakov really giving Shimon and Levi? What is Yaakov giving Shimon and Levi? He's giving them a tochacha. He's giving them rebuke. He's not cursing them, right? But he is giving them rebuke. And what is he criticizing? What is he criticizing? He's not criticizing them or their personalities. What is Yaakov criticizing? Say it louder, I don't hear.
Their actions?
What else? Look at Rashi. What is Yaakov criticizing? Right? Afilu bishat tochacha. He is giving them rebuke, but he's not cursing who they are and their essence. He is just criticizing their anger. They need anger management, right? Because they are just so angry all the time, and they have to be harnessed, right? You have to think about what you're going to do with your anger. So Rashi is saying, Yaakov is giving tochacha. So our question is going to be, are they going to stay stuck in this mold, or are we going to see Shevet Levi developing? What is going to be in the future of Shevet Levi? This is already the end of Sefer Bereishit, so we have to look to Sefer Shemot. How does Sefer Shemot begin? Who are the first actors, right, in Sefer Shemot? Who are the first actors in Sefer Shemot? Not telling us what happened, right, when Bnei Israel came down to Mitzrayim and Yosef was a king. Who are the first actors that start the Geulah in Sefer Shemot? Who are the first ones? Amram, Yocheved, right? And of course we know the sister Miriam, but look inside. How are they designated when we first get introduced to them? In Shemot Perek Bet, we're on number 5, right? Page 2, number 5, Shemot Perek Bet. How are we introduced to them? Vayelech Ish? Beit Levi. Vayikach Et? Bat Levi. Which means we're already seeing that the Geula is already going to start with Shevet Levi. And not only is the Geula going to start with Shevet Levi, we want to designate them as Levi. Open your eyes, see what's going to happen with Levi. And of course, we know who is the first one who's going to make sure that she's going to take care of her brother. Defend his honor, defend his life, really, so much. Miriam. So we're going to see that the Geula really starts with Miriam saving her brother, just like we had Levi saving the honor of Dina. But the way Miriam is going to do it, and the mother Yocheved is going to do it, they're going to make a teva. They're going to really fashion something that is the sign of hope, life, future, right? And they do it in that kind of positive way. So we already see a different direction, right, of Shevet Levi, and we see that the mother and sister are already, right, setting the tone. What else do we see here? When Moshe goes out, what is the word, right, that is used when Moshe goes out? Vayetze el Echav. He goes out to his brothers, family, sibling, right? It's very important with Shevet Levi. What does he see? Vayar Sivlotam. He sees their suffering, which means Moshe sees the suffering of his brothers. What didn't the brothers see with Yosef? And again, if you want to follow Rashi, Shimon and Levi are one of the main, you know, perpetrators. What didn't the brothers see with Yosef? They didn't see his suffering. How do we know that Yosef was suffering and screaming and yelling when he was in the pit? How do we know that Yosef was screaming and yelling when he was in the pit? Pshat! How do we know this? Say it louder, yeah.
Afterwards, the brothers say, like, we should have, like, when they realize who he was, they say, like, or, like, when they realize they're getting punished, they say, we should have, like, listened to his screams.
Excellent. When the brothers are confronted by Yosef, before they knew he was Yosef, right, what do they say to each other? You know, if we would have listened to Yosef when he was screaming and yelling and asking us for rachamim, right, and we would have listened to him and not turned a deaf ear, all of this wouldn't happen to us. So what do we know about Yosef when he was in the pit and all this was happening? He was crying, he was begging. What is missing when we are reading the whole story of Mechirat Yosef? What is missing there? Whose voice? Whose words? Yosef, right? We don't hear Yosef's words. Because what is the Torah trying to show us there? Right? What is the Torah trying to show us there? That we are seeing Mechirat Yosef through whose perspective? Through the brothers' perspectives. And what weren't the brothers listening to? The voice of Yosef. So he is mute there. So what is so beautiful here? What is Moshe seeing? He's seeing the suffering of his brothers. And he's putting himself in their shoes, right? And what does he want to do? He wants to take justice. What do we know about Shevet Levi? You see injustice, and what do? You act upon it, right? You take care of it, right? And what does he do? He sees an ish mitzri makeh ish ivri me'echav, v'yachat ha-mitzri v'yitmeneo b'chol. He looks here and there and he doesn't see anyone. And then when he's arguing with the two Jews, what does he say? You know, why are you fighting? And they say, you're saying you're going to kill me like you killed the mitzri? And then Moshe knows, oh my, I'm finished. I have to leave here. Now what we want to do, right? Again, we want to follow Shitat Rashi. What is Shitat Rashi? What is he saying about what is happening here with Moshe? And what is motivating him? Is Rashi going to see this as part of our Levi narrative? And I would like to propose absolutely. Look at Pasuk Yud Aleph. What is the story that Rashi brings that no other Parshan brings? What is the Medrash that Rashi brings of what is happening to the Mitzri, the Yehudi, in Mitzrayim? What is going on? Look at Rashi. What is the Medrash that Rashi brings, right, to explain why Moshe is so incensed, right, that he hits this Mitzri, that he punishes this Mitzri? What is happening? A Jewish woman is being, an Israelite, right, Hebrew woman is being raped at home every single night because the Egyptian is kicking the husband out and is having relations with this woman every single night. It's dark, she doesn't know it's not her husband, and then finally the husband recognizes it, and the Mitzri feels bad, and he realizes the Jew is seeing this, and then he is oppressing the Jew and whipping him and lashing him, right, almost till death. So what is Rashi doing by using this Midrash? What is Rashi connecting? What happened with Dina and Sefer Breshit and the actions of Moshe. Which means, what do Shevet Levi do? They defend woman's honor. Meaning that is one of the roles and an important thing that Shevet Levi does, and Moshe's doing it as well. Look at Pasuk Yud Bet. We're going on page 3. In Pasuk Yud Bet, what does Rashi say when he turns here and there? What is the interpretation of Rashi? Va'ifen kovacho, he sees what he did. Babayit u'basadeh. Again, the language that we have from Sefer Breshit, Rashi wants to connect the two. Let's go on. Vayar kiyem ish, according to Rashi. What is Moshe looking for? Is he just looking to see if he's going to get caught? What does it mean, vayar kiyem ish? What does it mean he's looking to see if anyone's going to meet Gayer? If anyone's going to convert? Because what was happening already, right, with Shimon and Levi, what weren't they respecting? They weren't respecting the Giyur. They weren't respecting the Brit Milah. So what is Rashi doing here? Rashi is showing that Moshe is doing a tikkun for everything that went on with Levi, with Dinah. We are moving slowly but surely. Rashi wants to show that there's a tikkun. And what is the pièce de résistance here? What is the gulat ha-koteret, right? What is the jewel in the crown for Rashi? What is Rashi's explanation? Halahargeni ata omer. Oh, are you saying you're going to kill me? Look at Shitat Rashi. We all know this from, you know, preschool. We know this from the first time we learned this, right? Everyone learns this Rashi. What is Rashi's explanation? He brings in a midrash. And what midrash is he bringing in? What does it mean, halahargeni ata omer? How did he kill him? With the name of Hashem. Bashem ha-miforash. What does that mean, Bashem ha-miforash? He's killing him with God's name. And not with what? Not with a sword, right? He is killing him b'shem before us. So who has to agree to this? Who has to be in cahoots with Moshe in order to kill this Mitzri? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means it's b'shem before us. And only, right, if Hashem agrees. It's not like the Harry Potter cruciatus. How do you say it? Curse, right? Which means it's automatic. It's an unforgivable curse, right? This is, right, b'shem Hashem and forash, Hashem has to agree. This is something, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be on board. So what do we already see? For this, Rashi wants to say there is a tikkun with Moshe. He is already rehabilitating the name of Levi. Where do we see Shevet Levi as a Shevet are only going to revenge and avenge God's name? At the Egel. And what happens with the Egel? If you look at number 6 in Shmot Lamed Bet, Bnei Yisrael are at Har Sinai. Moshe sees that Bnei Yisrael are desecrating Hashem's name. They're making an Egel. And what does Moshe do? He is angry, because we know Charon Af is part of the Levi view. Vayicharaf Moshe, and he breaks the Luchot. Because Bnei Yisrael cannot have these Luchot, right? And Mitzvot Hashem, if they're acting in this kind of way. And what does he say? Mila Shem Elai. And who comes? All of Shevet Levi. And what does he tell them to do? He gives a tzivui to take their cherev. right? They take their cheref, and then they defend Hashem's honor, and they kill all the 3,000 people, only the people who participated in the Egel. And then afterwards, look at the last pasuk. What does Hashem give? Moshe says, Hashem wants to give you now a bracha. Which means, what was Shevet Levi waiting for this whole time? A bracha. Because what did they get in the end of Sefer Bereishit? A tochacha. They didn't get a bracha. So now is their time to get a bracha. Now, you would have thought that because they took the cherev originally in Sefer Bereishit, that what would we say all the time about a cherev here? That it has no place. But what do we know? Sometimes the cherev has its place, but it has to be done correctly. It has to be done in the right way. A few weeks ago, my son, right, who was in Golani, right, finished his stint in Golani, right? And in Golani and in Tzava, when they had the initiation ceremony at the Kotel, they speak very strongly about what idea about Neshek. What idea is very ingrained in the Israeli army about Neshek? What do we call it? I guess you don't have a lot of people or relatives who are in Tzava, right? You haven't gone to a lot of ceremonies, so I'll let you in. They call it Tohar HaNeshek. What is the idea of Tohar HaNeshek? Tohar, from what word is that? Tohorah HaNeshek. Which means you have to respect the weapon, which means you should only use it when you really have to use it. You can only use it in the right situation. You don't act right wantonly or brazenly with your neshek. You have to really respect it because human life is so important. And only under very unusual circumstances, or special circumstances, or real circumstances, are you allowed to use it. Doesn't mean it has no place, but it has a very special and important place. So Torah Neshek, which means Bnei Levi, at this point, when it was a tzivui of Moshe, and when Hashem is giving this tzivui, then it's okay. Then you do it. But what is so fascinating here? Which means Shevet Levi only punishes the people who sinned. So what are we seeing already with Shevet Levi? They are learning this idea that you don't do excessive damage, you really only punish the people who did the crime. And again, Shitat Rashi, why does all the Shevet Kol Levi come? Because Kol HaShevet Kasher. Now what's happening? Not only is Moshe, right, becoming, right, Kasher B'derech Hashem, also the whole Shevet. And what kind of brit do Shevet Levi have? Look at number 7. They have a brit melach, which means what word is constantly used when we're talking about Shevet Levi? Brit. And what does brit melach mean? What does brit melach mean? Right? They all had a brit melach, right? And here we have the idea of brit melach. A brit melach means a covenant of salt. It means a covenant forever, which means Bnei Levi are now having a covenant with Hashem that's going to be forever. And what is part of that covenant? Even though when the time comes and it's important, they might take weapons, but they're not allowed to take weapons. They don't have a nachalan am Yisrael. They get truma and maaser. And what does Rashi explain here? When Bnei Yisrael go out to war, what don't Shevet Levi get? Look at Rashi here. We're in number 7, right? And we're in Bamidbar Perek Yudchet Pasuk Zayin and Pasuk Kaf. What don't Shevet Levi get when you go to war? Spoils. Why don't Shevet Levi get spoils? Why don't they get bizah? Because what did we see? Shimon and Levi. What didn't they respect when it came to Shechem? They didn't respect the spoils. They didn't respect the dead. They didn't respect the other people's possessions. And they took the women and the children, the tzonu bakar. So also as a kapara, what can't Shevet Levi take when Bnei Israel go out to war? They can't take the spoils because they are going to be the spiritual mentors of Am Yisrael. And they should not be taking the spoils of war, because even though when you go to war, you deserve the spoils, sometimes they are not acquired, right, in the most honorable way. And we don't want Shevet Levi to participate in something like that. So again, look at the language that Rashi is using. Everything is a response to what we saw with Shimon and Levi and Shechem. So who are we missing? Who are we missing? We're missing Shimon. We're constantly talking about Levi. So what happened to Shimon? Which means we should be finding something about Shimon. Where do we find Shimon? Where do we find Shimon? Suggestions? Okay, so I guess we're going to find out together. Look at Bamidbar Perek Kaf Chet. We're in number 8. Bottom of page 3. What is this story? What do Bnei Israel do in the Shittim? What's happening with Bnei Israel with the Shittim and Baal Peor and Moab and Midian? Bnei Israel are doing Znut. So what's so fascinating? When do we see Shevet Levi always waking up? And the Kohanim and the Levi'im? When what is going on in Am Yisrael? When there are issues of Znut, right? We're not respecting the women. Shevet Levi always stands up. And look very carefully what's happening. Bnei Israel are committing a terrible, right, crime against the Tzniut, right, and the values of Am Yisrael. And look what Hashem says, Pasuk Dalid, we're number 8, Perek Kaf Hei, Pasuk Dalid. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, kach et kol rashei ha'am, voka otam laHashem neged haShemesh. What is Hashem telling Moshe? Kill all the leaders, right? Because the leaders are not doing a good job. And what's going to happen if you kill all the leaders? Vayashev charon af Hashem Yisrael. Who's angry now? Who's angry now? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's the only thing that's going to assuage God's anger? Killing the leaders of Am Yisrael because they're not doing their job. And what does Moshe say to Shoftei Yisrael? You judges, you have to kill all the people, right, who are sinning with Baal Peor. And at that moment, someone gets up and he has illicit relations with this other woman in front of Oel Moed. And it doesn't tell us who it is right now. It just says someone is having illicit relations in front of all of Am Yisrael, and all of Bnei Yisrael are crying. And what happens? Okay? Vayar Pinchas, when Pasuk Zayin. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen, Vayaka mitoch ha'ida v'yikach romach biyado. What does Pinchas do? We know that Kohanim are not allowed to take swords, and they're not allowed to take any kind of weapons. And yet, what does Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen take in his hand?
A spear.
And why is a spear good? Because a spear is very direct. A spear is very specific. A spear is like a smart missile, right? And he takes this spear in his hand, and what does he do? Right? He only kills the two people who are perpetrating this crime. And right when he does this, Vateatzer ha-magefa me'al b'nei Yisrael. Right? So Hashem has already started a magefa. So look at the flip side. What happened with Shimon and Levi? They're doing excessive damage. And here, Kivyachol, who is doing excessive damage? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means, what's the point? What is happening here? Which means, Bnei Yisrael did such an unspeakable crime, right, that Hashem is bringing a plague on Bnei Yisrael. And who is stopping this plague? Who is stopping Charon Af of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It is Pinchas. Right? And he is doing it by just showing that he's punishing the two main people, the exemplars, right, who are doing it in front of Am Yisrael, and they're inciting almost everybody, right, to join up with them. And the bracha that Pinchas gets, because look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, who heishivet chamati. Pinchas stopped Hashem's anger. So look how we started. We started with Shimon and Levi having the excessive anger. Here it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, right? Because he sees what Bnei Israel are doing after 40 years in the Midbar, after getting the Torah, they're not behaving in the right way. And who's the one who is being mechaper al Bnei Israel? It is Pinchas, the Kohen. So he is meshiv chamati because he was mekane bekanot kinati, because he only did it in a very specific way. It is very clear. It's not achur, it's not muddied. It is crystal clear what the message is here. And therefore, what does he get? Look in Pasuk Yud Bet. What kind of brit does Pinchas get? What kind of brit does Pinchas get? He gets a brit?
Shalom.
Why is that so beautiful? Because what are we going back to? What did Shechem and Hamor say to Anshei Shechem? What kind of people are these people? Shleimim hemitanu. Shimon and Levi, Shleimim hemitanu b'nei Yisrael. And what do we know? Clearly they were not Shleimim. And they desecrated the Brit. And now how beautifully, what does Pinchas bring back? What does he bring back to Am Yisrael? The Brit Shalom. He brings back shalom by doing kin'ah in the right way, just the individuals, making it crystal clear. What is the message? And the beautiful midrash that we have, right, that Rashi also mentions, is because he remembered the halakha from Moshe. He didn't even act on his own. He remembered that Moshe taught him this halakha, that this is what you do, kana'im pogimbo, just in the individuals, just to give the message. There's no wanton punishment. You're not killing innocent civilians. You are just making it crystal clear what the message is here. So we're seeing how Pinchas Meshiv Atara Yoshna. He is bringing back the idea and the message, right, of what to do in the right situation. There are times where this kind of action is called for, but it has to be clear, it has to be direct, it has to really be b'shem Hashem in order to understand what the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Look at page 4. And who is the man who is perpetrating this unspeakable crime, having these illicit relations in front of all Am Yisrael? Who is he? Nasi Beit Av Lashimoni. He is Nasi Beit Av. What does Nasi Beit Av mean? What is Nasi Beit Av? What is a Nasi? He is the leader. What is Beit Av? He is the leader of a whole head of the household of a tribe. For what Shevet? For Shimon. So what is this doing? What are we seeing here in this piece? Look at the different trajectories that happen and take place. Shimon and Levi are achim, they are brothers, they're always together, they're one unit. They're both angry, they both have this issue, right? How to harness their anger. And yet look what happens, Shevet Levi. Levi really learns how to channel this passion, this excitement, right? This view in a very positive way. And they develop it throughout, right, these years. And yet what do we see in Chumash at least? What is the destiny of Shimon? Shimon doesn't learn the lesson. Shimon doesn't take the tochacha. Shimon doesn't see the tochacha as something that he has to be introspective. What's the irony here? Meaning, what were Shimon and Levi attacking Shechem for? Desecrating Dina. And what is Shimon, the leader of Shimon, doing in front of Am Yisrael? Acting in this indecent way. Right? Not acting bitzniyut at all. He's metameh, the name of Am Yisrael. And what we see so fascinatingly, and now we're going to put it all together because we started with the brachot in a sense of Yaakov, and now we're going to end with the brachot of Moshe, right? Who's missing in the brachot of Moshe in the end of Sefer Dvarim? What Shevet is missing?
Shimon.
So sad. Shevet Shimon is missing in the brachot in the end of Sefer Dvarim. And yet who gets a huge chunk and a huge shout out? Levi. So we go from tochacha, we go from criticizing their anger to see now, and again we're going to see the beautiful language, how are Shevet Levi, how is Shevet Levi designated, right, in the end of Sefer Dvarim? Look how beautifully the Torah, right, really compares, right, the brachot of Moshe and the brachot of Yaakov. And let's look and finish up here. We're in the last source, we're in number 10. Dvarim Perek Lamed Gimel, right? And these are the bookends, the brachot of Yaakov and the brachot of Moshe. We're on page number 4 and we're doing number 10, Dvarim Lamed Gimel. Ulelevi amar tumecha ve'urecha li'ish chasidecha. Levi wears the Urim v'tumim. On their heart, they wear, right, the messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And they speak to Hashem. Le'ish chasidecha. All of a sudden, what did Levi become? They became chasidim, right? They became righteous. They became good. What else do we see, right? We see kishamru imratecha, pasuk tet. They're keeping the word of Hashem. Ubritcha yinsoru. They're keeping the brit milah. They are keeping the covenant. What did we say originally about Shevet Levi? They're not respecting the covenant. Yoru mishpatecha liyakov. They're the ones that are teaching the law, right? They're the one teaching mishpatecha liyakov. The Torah Tchal Yisrael. What did we say originally? They're abusing the name of Yaakov. They're abusing Yaakov's authority. And what has Shevet Levi become? The authority, right? They're the teachers, right? They're the mentors of Am Yisrael. Yasimu Ktorah ve'apecha. They're the ones putting Ktoret in God's nose. What was the use of Apecha originally? Arur Apam ki'az. Their anger is being cursed. Now they're assuaging Hashem's anger. They're putting Ktoret in Hashem's nostrils. So we see, right, the language play, the hipuch of what's going on. Now Shimon and Levi, right, are not identical. They're not angry. We see that Levi has really risen to the occasion. Barech Hashem Chelo. Again, the same language. We are giving a bracha to their material goods, which means originally their material goods, they were taking and stealing the material goods, Chelam, right, in Sefer Breshit from Shechem. But now, Barech Hashem Chelo, they are getting truma, ma'aser. They are eating what we call Mishulchan Gavoa. They are eating from the Korbanot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Their material goods are now blessed. Right? Ufol Yadav Tirtze. What they do with their hands, they're not taking the sword anymore. Right? What they do with their hands, which is the Korbanot, now they're Mirutzim Bifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Machatz Matnayim Kamav Umisanav Minyikumun. But don't mess with Shevet Levi. They are still tough. It's not like, oh, they became the Kohanim and Levim and they're not tough. They still have that characteristic. They still have passion. They still are excited. They still have kind of, but what is it sublimated? What is it transferred for? Avodat Hashem. Which means Moshe's not saying, oh, you totally transformed and changed your essence. The essence of Levi is still there. Their personality is still there, but they are now using it for good. Look at the difference between Shimon and Levi, what you could do, right, with yourself and your future. And look at Rashi. Rashi's explaining, right, that not only that, who had a Brit Milah during the Midbar? What Shevet gave their children, their male sons, Brit Milah in the Midbar? Only Shevet Levi. So now they respect the Brit Milah so much so that they even did it in the Midbar. And later on, where do Shevet Levi take swords? Where do they fight in order to defend God's honor? During the Chashmonaim, look at Rashi. Which means when the time came and it was important and right to take up the sword, then the Chashmonaim, the Bnei Levi, did stand up and fight to defend God's honor. There's always a right time. How do you do it? When do you do it? When is it a Kiddush Hashem and when is a Chilul Hashem? The line is very thin sometimes, but you really have to know when is one and when is the other. So I'd just like to say, tonight, for us, here in our year in Israel, and just in general, right, we are who we are, right? Many times we can work on our midot, right, and we want to develop them, we want to make better qualities, we want to work on certain kind of personal strengths that we have. But many times, we should also look at who we are, what is our essence, and not try to be someone else. But we really have to be the best ourselves that we could be, the best Sipora, the best Sarah, the best Smada, meaning who are you? What is your essence? What are your strengths? What can you contribute to Am Yisrael? And if you work on them, because we're not making Levi into something else, we're just harnessing their energy and really devoting it, right, into a certain, and devoting it to a certain goal. That is what your life is about. That's what your year here is about. And that's what all your years going forward is about. Working on all those great qualities through Avodas Hashem, through Limud HaTorah, through general studies in which we learn about this wonderful world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means we have to harness, and if you're artistic, or you're mathematical, or you're shy, or you're outgoing, which means what are your qualities? And develop them in a special way. And if people really give you constructive criticism, then you should take it. Don't think that someone's trying to put you down, which means think about it, internalize it. We can always learn and try to really go further and go higher. So I just want to give you a bracha, just like Yaakov and Moshe, Lahavdil, right? But that really, your special inner qualities, right? You're really going to think about it. What is my way to contribute to myself, to my family, right? To my friends, to my community, to Am Yisrael? Who am I and what are my special qualities? And what is my Brit Shalom, right, going to be for Am Yisrael? Because every one of us has a special Brit with the community, a Brit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and really our goal is really to fulfill that. So really learn, enjoy, experience, and really think of how you can really develop and really be someone who's going to contribute in your special way to Am Yisrael. Hatzlacha b'chayim. Thank you.